This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, now open in Portland at 3646 Southeast Hawthorne and in Vancouver at 16501 Southeast Mill Plain Boulevard. Also on the web at PEETS.com.
With our allies in the fight for affordable health care.
I'm Andy Seaton, KBOO News.
For KBOO in Portland, I'm Julie Sabatier.
KBOO's Afifa Amin Shafi reports.
I'm Stephanie Potter, KBOO News.
KBOO's Eduardo Delanderos Tiede has more.
I'm Annalisa Hummel.
And I'm Liam Delta.
This is Maddie Bowden.
I'm Alex Collins, KBOO News.
I'm Michael Newman, KBOO News.
I'm Courtney Dillard, KBOO News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, one Lewis County Sheriff deputy has resigned and another is facing disciplinary charges for a text message scandal. The president of the nation's largest municipal labor council was arrested on federal racketeering charges today, and attacks against the media in Iraq are increasing.
And in the human cost of occupation in Iraq, as of today, there have been 2,771 officially acknowledged deaths of American soldiers. IraqBodyCount.org reports 48,783 civilians have been reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. A new report by British medical journal The Lancet places the civilian death count at more than 650,000 dead.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, October 17th, 2006. I'm Josonia Watson.
And I'm Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. A grand jury today cleared Portland police officers of wrongdoing in the beating death of James Chassie Jr. Chassie was beaten and tasered by officers in downtown Portland on September 17th. Witnesses reported that police kicked Chassie repeatedly until he lost consciousness. Officers then placed Chassie under arrest and took him to the Justice Center to be booked. There, a nurse recommended he be taken to a hospital instead. Chassie died en route to the hospital. Chief Medical Examiner Karen Gunson found that Chassie died from blunt force trauma to the chest. She ruled the death, quote, accidental. Chassie had been diagnosed with schizophrenia. Police apparently stopped him on the street because, they said, he had urinated in public. Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch said today's verdict is disappointing but not surprising. In the entire history of the Portland police, there has never been an indictment of a Portland police officer for on-duty use of force.
Jefferson County Commissioner Bill Bellamy will keep his job. A group seeks to recall him from office announced this week that they are dropping the effort. Chief Petitioner Bill Towery cites the group's failure to remove Commissioner Walt Ponsford through a recall election last week. Towery says they didn't want to create more cost after the way the other recall went. Towery then suggested they, quote, drop the whole thing. Supporters of the recall effort said the commissioners neglected to sufficiently remove restrictions when Measure 37's claims were granted. Bellamy says the lopsided vote to retain Ponsford led him to believe he would survive a recall vote.
As the votes are counted in his state Senate race, candidate Paul Evans expects to be getting ready for battle in Afghanistan. Evans, a Democrat, is to leave November 5th for a 60-day stint with the 116th Air Control Squadron of the Oregon Air National Guard. 2 days later, on November 7th, the mailed-in ballots will be counted in his race with incumbent Republican Senator Jackie Winters. Evans is an air battle manager who is responsible for command and control of tactical aircraft. He oversees surveillance systems and aerial response to threats. He has done similar work in Iraq and Kuwait. Should Evans unseat Winters, the 60-day stint would allow him to be back for the opening of the legislative session on January 8th.
Washington State Republican Senate candidate Mike McGavick says President Bush can be, quote, somewhat bullheaded about the Iraq war. To get the president to listen to ideas for a new direction, McGavick wants a congressional committee to study the problem and offer advice. He also says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld should be replaced. The attention on the war comes as McGavick and Senator Maria Cantwell meet in a televised debate tonight in Seattle. Cantwell dismisses the idea of a congressional committee to come up with new ideas for the Iraq war. She says McGavick remains hopelessly tarred by his connection to Republicans who haven't even been able to persuade the administration to change course in Iraq.
Pollsters expect a lower voter turnout in Oregon this year, but a light turnout in Oregon would still be a heavy turnout in most other states. Since the 1960s, Oregonian turnouts in presidential elections have been close to 80%, and the turnout in off-year gubernatorial elections has been close to 70%. This according to statistics from the Oregon Elections Division. In the 2004 general election, Oregon ranked as the nation's third highest state in terms of voter turnout. Despite Oregon's history of strong participation, steps are being taken to increase turnout, such as sending reminders to voters via text messages. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury says they want to do anything they can to encourage people to participate and vote.
Today's the deadline to register to vote in the November election, and that's raising the question of eligibility for at least one group of Oregonians, people with felony convictions. Oregon does allow them to vote after they've served their time, and David Rogers, director of the Partnership for Safety and Justice, says it's important for them to be able to participate. KBOO's Mike Mungvold has the story.
Today is the last day Oregonians can register to vote if they want to cast a ballot in next month's election. That has county clerks across the state busy fielding calls about who's eligible to vote. In some states, people with past felony convictions can't vote, but they can here in Oregon. David Rogers with the Partnership for Safety and Justice says Oregon's law helps people become part of their communities again.
One of the ways people get reconnected with their community is by restoring their rights of citizenship, and that means giving them the right to vote. It's an important civic responsibility that can play a major role in making sure people feel good about being back home.
In Oregon, people with felony convictions can vote as soon as they're released by the Department of Corrections, even if still on parole or probation. Rogers says that Oregon's law helps include everyone in the voting process, regardless of their past.
It's a really important responsibility. Oregon recognizes that its citizens should be granted every opportunity to vote, and that leads to better government.
Completed registration cards must be turned into county offices by the close of business today. Registration cards can be found at DMV offices, libraries, and many other public locations. The Oregon News Service contributed to this report. I'm Mike Mungvold, KBOO News.
The current time is 5:07. You're listening to Community Radio, KBOO, in Portland, Vancouver, Corvallis, and Hood River. As we ask you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio, please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. Time now to go to our friends in the membership mothership.
Oh, I like that, membership mothership. I also like Palace of Pledge. I'm Lisa. I'm joined by my best girlfriend, Emily Young.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here. We're just passing the hat for KBOO. We decided we're going to ask you this special request a few more times than we normally do in an hour just because we want you to get on the mothership. We want you to. And, Emily, what's the number to call?
The number to call is 503. That's 503. Hey, yeah, 503. We know that number. 232. That's the number you may not know yet. 232-8818. We need you to call now and support News on KBOO. And the reason why you should is News is our best training ground to send, as a close friend of mine once said, we train people here at KBOO and we give them legs and it keeps on going. And basically we have outfitted most of the community radio world here in Portland. Virtually a lot of our people are now over at another community-sponsored radio station. Well, not community-sponsored. But they get a lot more funding than we do, and they really have a gazillion-dollar building.
But you know what? I mean, it's also true that we have reporters that have then gone on to do, reporting across the country. I remember Alexi Rubenstein ended up years ago, you know, ending up was trained at KBOO and then got a job full-time as a coordinator for, I believe it was High Plains News Service.
That's right, High Plains News Service. We've had Kat Snow go out and
Emily
Robert Smith. Emily Harris, for crying out loud, former Rose Festival princess of all things, also came through KBOO, and she became the correspondent in Baghdad for NPR, also now reporting from Berlin.
She's still a foreign correspondent,
she
actually.
She's in Berlin.
All over the place.
She is an incredible, incredible being. And you know, these folks got their start at KABU. Well, Norm Solomon got his radio start at KABU, for Pete's sake.
And you can too if you come
Let's
on down here
again.
To
503-232-8818. The thing is, what we really are looking for right now is for you to join KABU, because you know the news is something you value. You know you want to hear the straight scoop. You don't want it filtered through media owned by corporate interests. You don't want it to be sort of happy chatter talk about celebrities and whatnot. You want information that you can use to live an empowered life, information you can use to inspire you and move you through your day. That's why you need to dial 503-232-8818. Information that will outrage you and get you out of your chair taking some action. That's why you listen to KABU, for the analysis, for the information, for the education, for the connection to your community. 503-232-8818.
You know, I happen to know that we're not just preaching to the choir here. I know that occasionally, every now and then, because I've lived here my entire life, that people will start listening who aren't ordinarily KABU-type listeners. So the more we're out there, the more it's happening, and the more our maybe we can resecure our rights, the ones that we've lost. Let's call now, please, 503-232-8818. Brave New Radio. It's the only place in town that where you're going to get it. Again, the numbers outside of the area, 1-877-500-5266. We do have a lot of premiums or gifts, thank you gifts to you. For instance, for a $75 minimum pledge, you can have the Censored 2007 Project Censored.
You know, I keep talking about that book, Emily, and I talk about it because it is such an important book. It is such an important book to get these kinds of articles and this kind of in-depth information into people's hands, circulated amongst your friends and your family. Get your friends and family to listen to KABU. Sponsor somebody you know with a KABU membership right now.
We need new members.
That's
a great idea.
Gift membership for somebody having a birthday, you know, give them something that really is meaningful, something that gives to the entire community.
You know what, Ani, we have to go back to the program.
503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Au contraire, we have another 40 seconds before I'm dragging back. And I just want to have an opportunity to say, too, thanks to whoever called. But this is important stuff, and if you have been waiting all these days to find out what was going to happen with the James Chassie case, we just got handed that story, like, literally, like, 5 minutes before 5 o'clock, which is how some agencies work in this town, okay? They know what time it is, and they know that a lot of these stations are locked into a computer program. So if they break their stories at a certain time, they're going to get less play. But at KABU, you know what? We know what matters to you, and that's why we need you to get up out of that Barco Lounger right now, okay? Dial us up, 503-232-8818, or, you know, you might be driving stuck in a traffic jam. Whip out that celly, 818-77-500-KABU. We need to know that you're there. We need to know that we're not alone, okay? And that's the long and the short of it. Okay, now we're going to go back to Josonia and Isaac. But in the meantime, give us a call, 503-232-8818. And thanks to all the people who called. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Former Washington Governor Booth Garner says he's still planning to lead a 2008 campaign for a doctor-assisted death initiative. In his first interview since undergoing deep brain surgeries for Parkinson's disease, Garner tells the Associated Press today that he's recovering well. The 70-year-old Garner had the last of his two brain surgeries in July. He's since gone through a divorce and moved to Tacoma, where he has a live-in caregiver. The popular Democrat was Washington's governor from 1985 to 1993. Garner says his recovery is going well, and he's now ready to tackle education reform and the assisted death measure. Oregon has a similar law, and Washington voters rejected a version in 1991. But Garner says he's sure a new initiative would pass this time in Washington.
The trend of officials in hot water for hot texting hits closer to home today. One Lewis County Sheriff's deputy has resigned, and another is facing discipline in a text message scandal. Sheriff Steve Mansfield says that Deputy Eric Weinreich, an 8-year veteran, resigned last week after supervisors found back and forth explicit sexual and personal messages between him and County Central Services Director Patty Prouty. They sometimes lasted as long as 3 hours in a night. In one message, Weinreich wrote of the difficulty of writing and driving 100 miles per hour at the same time, though it was unclear if he was serious. Mansfield also says Deputy Dan Reardon will face suspension and loss of vacation time for his communications with Prouty. Lewis County Commissioners placed Prouty on administrative leave in August. As head of the county's technology department, she had helped install mobile data computers in patrol cars.
A $31 million system designed to collect runoff from de-icing fluid on planes at Portland International Airport is causing problems for Columbia River fish. Officials say use of the de-icing fluid triggered dozens of water quality violations and an $82,000 state fine. This month, port officials agreed to build a new treatment and discharge system by 2012. Discharges containing the de-icing fluid, variations of glycol similar to antifreeze, are harmful to fish and other aquatic life. Bacteria break down the fluid, robbing fish of oxygen in the Columbia Slough, where the water is emptied.
Portland's chapter of In Defense of Animals won a huge legal victory today. More than 10 years after filing a Freedom of Information Act request with the Oregon Health and Sciences University for records of primate care, IDA finally received word that the documents will be released. OHSU officials had demanded the activists pay more than $150,000 for the records. The IDA challenged the fee in court, and OHSU lost the case last year. Now they'll be handing over the records. KBOO's Lisa Loving spoke this afternoon with IDA Director Matt Russell.
OHSU for records about their primate research at the Oregon Primate Center, and it's taken us this long, but today we settled, and OHSU is giving us exactly what we asked for free, which is the health and behavior records of monkeys out at the Primate Center. And the significance of this, I think, to the taxpayer is, you know, that OHSU works very hard to try to keep the public in the dark about how they're using our taxes to do ridiculous experiments on monkeys, and they don't want the public to know how these animals live and die. And the evidence of that is how long it took us to get these documents, and that's the sad reality here, is that we had to file a lawsuit after OHSU tried to charge us $150,000 for these documents that they are now claiming that it was just some kind of a complex computer problem that kept us from getting the documents.
Did you feel that there were any reforms that occurred due to your activism on this issue?
Well, they have made claims that they're giving the animals more produce. They have hired more technicians to socially house primates, and they claim to be working towards getting more social housing. But I think that the biggest change that's happened since I left there in 2000 is the expansion, which is really troubling, considering that when I left there were 2,500 monkeys at the Oregon Primate Center, and now there's upwards of 4,000, I think approaching like 4,500 primates there. And this is in a day and age when we should be reducing the number of animals at all of these research labs, because we're finding over and over that they're not a reliable model, and that we have all the new technology in clinical research is making a lot of this animal research obsolete.
That was Matt Russell of In Defense of Animals. Find out more at www.iudausa.org. KBOO apologizes for technical difficulties experienced in the broadcast of this story. For a more complete version, please visit www.kboo.org.
Former Representative Gary Studs, the first openly gay member of Congress, was married to another man in Massachusetts at the time of his death. But the federal government has refused to pay death benefits to his spouse. Studs married Dean Hara in 2004 after gay marriage was legalized in Massachusetts. But Hara will not be eligible to receive any portion of Studs' more than $114,000 annual pension because the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act bars the federal government from recognizing Studs' marriage. Peter Graves is spokesman for the Office of Personnel Management, which administers the Congressional Pension Program, said same-sex partners are not recognized as spouses for any marriage benefits. He said Studd's case was the first of its kind known to the agency. Under federal law, pensions can be denied only to lawmakers, same-sex partners, and people convicted of espionage or treason, Graves said.
The president of the nation's largest municipal labor council was arrested on federal racketeering charges today. Brian W. McLaughlin, accused of stealing more than $2 million from the state, labor unions, and even a Little League fund. McLaughlin, a seven-term Democratic state assemblyman and president of the New York City Central Labor Council, has been under investigation for several years. He surrendered this morning and was released on a $250,000 bail after a brief appearance before U.S. Magistrate Judge James C. Francis. McLaughlin and his lawyer, Jonathan Bach, declined to comment as they left the U.S. District Court in Manhattan. The Labor Council is an umbrella group of unions which has supported Mayor Michael Bloomberg. The indictment alleges McLaughlin committed mail fraud, embezzlement, money laundering, and labor bribery by diverting money from various funds he controlled.
The California Attorney General's office says it's aggressively investigating letters delivered to some Latino households that warn incorrectly that it's a crime for immigrants to vote. A city council candidate in Garden Grove says he and his wife were among the families who received a letter written in Spanish which says voting could land immigrants in jail or get them deported. Benny Diaz calls it a malicious and degrading letter meant to scare Latinos away from the polls. The truth is that immigrants who become naturalized citizens can legally register to vote.
The Republican Party placed $700,000 in television ads in Ohio today. That represents a scaled-back ad campaign amid growing doubts by party officials that Republican Senator Mike DeWine can win re-election in the battleground state. The ads by the party are smaller than recent million-dollar ad buys by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. But party officials touted the ads as evidence that they were not abandoning the state or giving up on DeWine. Strategists from both parties were following the Republican steps closely. That's because the GOP had chosen Ohio, Tennessee, and Missouri as political fortifications against a Democratic takeover of the Senate. Democrats need a net gain of 6 seats to win control of the Senate. Polls this week in Ohio show DeWine trailing his Democratic opponent, Representative Sherrod Brown, by 7 to 12 percentage points. Republican Party officials are turning their sights to Virginia to offer needed help to Senator George Allen, who has been unable to stop a rapidly tightening race with Democrat Jim Webb.
Disgraced former Representative Randy Duke Cunningham parlayed his seat on the Intelligence Committee into winning at least $70 million in authorizations benefiting two contractors who, in turn, paid him millions in bribes. That was the key finding released today in a declassified summary of a report by the panel's independent investigator. It confirms what has long been suspected. The Intelligence Committee was one more venue that the California Republican exploited to help his associates. The report finds that Cunningham secured the cooperation or at least the non-interference of many people. These included Congress members who handled bills which governed the spending of contracts, Pentagon officials who awarded the contractors, and officials at agencies where the contracting work was actually done.
A federal judge today erased the conviction of Enron's late founder, Kenneth Lay, wiping out a jury's verdict that he committed fraud and conspiracy in one of the biggest corporate frauds in U.S. history. The judge agreed with Lay's lawyers that his death required erasing his convictions because Lay would not have an opportunity to appeal. Lay was convicted of 10 counts of fraud, conspiracy, and lying to banks in two separate cases on May 25th. Enron's collapse in 2001 wiped out thousands of jobs, more than $60 billion in market value, and more than $2 billion in pension plans. Today's ruling ends the government's bid to seek more than $40 million in ill-gotten gains prosecutors allege he pocketed by participating in Enron's fraud. Lay died of heart disease July 5th while vacationing with his wife, Linda, in Aspen, Colorado.
The Military Commissions Act to try detainees is now law. President Bush signed the bill this morning in what he called an important step in the war on terror. A barrage of skeptics voiced their opposition to the measure, including more than 200 people who held a vigil outside the White House. FSRN's Leanne Caldwell reports.
For those who attended a vigil outside the White House, the legislation validates torture.
We totally, completely believe it's a violation of U.S. law, international law, and what the United States government is doing today is a crime to the human race.
Sister Diana Ortiz said she was tortured in the 1980s in Guatemala, where she worked as a missionary. She still doesn't know why she was held. In the rain on a chilly fall morning, Sister Ortiz stood with a couple of hundred other participants, mostly members of religious groups. They stood outside the front gates of the White House to oppose the law. The bill authorizes military commissions to try a small portion, at most 75, of the detainees held at Guantanamo Bay. The other 300, those who lack evidence for a conviction, could be held indefinitely. The bill also sets interrogation guidelines to be interpreted by the president for CIA and U.S. military officials.
Oh, it doesn't go far enough. No. I think it was a sellout.
Daniel Egan, a vigil participant, refers to the compromise between three top Republican senators in the Bush administration who produced the final outcome signed into law today. But the president surely doesn't see it as a sellout, but instead as a victory in the war on terror.
It is a rare occasion when a president can sign a bill he knows will save American lives. I have that privilege this morning.
During the signing ceremony at the White House, Bush says the CIA will once again be able to conduct interrogations.
It allows for the clarity our intelligence professionals need to continue questioning terrorists and saving lives.
But some analysts say the guidelines aren't so clear, subjecting the CIA interrogators to prosecution under U.S. law. Neil Sonnet is president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Attorneys.
I would conclude that the risk of prosecution, if some or all of these enhanced techniques are used, is real.
Not only were concerned citizens speaking out against the legislation, but so did legal scholars, civil liberties groups, and members of Congress. The American Civil Liberties Union took out a full-page ad in the Washington Post decrying the bill. Press releases from the Democratic leadership in Congress also denounced it. Critics say the law will end up right back in the courts. Vince Warren is the executive director at the Center for Constitutional Rights, a firm that represents detainees held at Guantanamo Bay.
There is no doubt that this act is unconstitutional, and there is no doubt that it violates international law, including the Geneva Convention.
Vince and other legal scholars say the suspension of habeas corpus, which is the right for a detainee to challenge their detention, is unconstitutional. Also questionable is that it gives the president broad powers to interpret the human rights provisions of the Geneva Conventions. Even though it could take several months before the first trial begins, Congress passed the bill in a last-minute frenzy before the end of its final days of session 3 weeks ago. Republican leaders received intense pressure from the administration so they could quickly bring the detainees to trial. And just 3 weeks before the November midterm elections, the president and its supporters received their detainee legislation. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Leanne Caldwell.
After visiting a green high-rise apartment building in Manhattan, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger announced that his state will join 7 northeastern states in an alliance to fight global warming. Schwarzenegger said he would sign an executive order today which calls for a program allowing his state to work with the Northeast's Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. The goal of the initiative is to reduce carbon dioxide emissions at power plants beginning in 2009. California's global warming law imposes the country's first mandatory statewide cap on greenhouse gas emissions. The move has been criticized by manufacturers and cement makers, two of the largest emitters of the greenhouse gases, which scientists blame for rising temperatures in many parts of the world.
a Mississippi woman who said she developed cancer after years of washing clothes covered with asbestos dust, has won a settlement from four companies which she blamed for her illness. Patsy Jean Bodkin, who washed her father and brother's work clothes for years, is now bedridden and relies on oxygen and morphine. She was diagnosed in 2003 with an aggressive cancer frequently linked to asbestos. The parties reached an out-of-court settlement last week, but the agreements are confidential. Bodkin filed suit in Fulton County State Court in 2005 against several companies which made roofing, siding, and joint compounds and insulation products used by her father and brother, who said who had a small home building business in Mississippi.
Wholesale inflation, helped by a record plunge in gasoline prices, dropped by the largest amount in more than 3 years in September. Industrial production was down sharply as well. The reports today were viewed as evidence that the slowing economy is lowering inflation pressures, just what the Federal Reserve had hoped for. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve said that output at the nation's factories, mines, and utilities fell by 0.6%, the worst showing since the widespread shutdowns caused by Hurricane Katrina 1 year ago. Food costs rose by 0.7%. Excluding energy and food, the 0.6% rise in core inflation was the biggest since a similar 0.6% rise in January 2005.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice launched an uncertain diplomatic drive today to persuade Asian allies and Russia to intensify North Korea's isolation, even as the White House acknowledged that the reclusive nation might try a second nuclear test. Rice left for Japan, the first stop on a four-nation trip, amid clear signs of unease in China and South Korea about even the softened sanctions approved last weekend by the UN Security Council. The UN resolution was amid a forcing North Korea to drop its nuclear weapons program. Concern over a second test stems partly from a new satellite imagery showing increased activity around at least two other North Korean sites, a senior defense official said on Tuesday. The White House said today that it wouldn't be surprising if North Korea were to try another nuclear test to be provocative.
The current time is 5:30. Tonight, we're asking for you to become a contributing member of KBOO Community Radio. Please join us by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. Time now to return to our friends aboard the membership mothership.
We're just mothering the mothership. I love that.
I like that, too. Hi, Lisa. It's Ani.
It's me, Lisa. It's my cool friend, Ani, and my best girlfriend, Emily Young.
Hi.
We're passing the hat for KBOO. That's all we're doing. You know that we actually put in a brand new toilet today. I know you want to hear this. And it's a toilet for people who, if it's more like an ultra-accessible toilet. It's an accessibility
right.
issue. You know, actually, KBOO as a building, this is one of the most accessible buildings for people that don't walk on, you know, two happy legs all the time. We bring in all kind of people in this building, and it matters to us. And it actually costs money to make our building accessible. And support that by calling 503-232-8818 or toll-free 1-877-500-KBOO.
We're looking for some new members, maybe some renewing members, or somebody wants to up their membership right now. I think a $75 membership will get you that Project Censored book. We're pushing that today. That's what we're shilling for
today. Project Censored 2007.
That is correct.
That's like the 25 most censored stories in the United States. Actually, I believe it encompasses the calendar year 2006. But it's
right.
These are stories that...
Since 2007 hasn't happened yet, yes.
Yeah.
2006 hasn't completely happened yet either. Anyway,
232-8818. We'd love to hear those calls. We want to thank Rachel and Maya, also Voodoo Donuts, Il Piatto, Daily Grind Market, and Aztec Willie's. All these folks contributed today to KBOO. Why? Because, well, they're apparently smart.
That's right. They understand the value of community radio in their lives and in their community, and they like that. They want to say, yes, they step forward and they support it. We need to raise $201 more.
Not a lot to ask. I think it'd be great
if the
news can meet this goal tonight. That would be a really, truly beautiful thing. And again, for that $75 minimum pledge for your one-year membership, you'll get the Censored Project 2007 project. Is it 2007?
It is Project Censored 2007. It's sort of like, you know, cars. They always are dated the year before. The year after.
It's confusing. You know what?
Maybe they play with space time. I don't know what it is.
Your honey bunny said something the other day that I just loved, and that was Torturvania. She said Torturvania.
Oh, yeah. She's advocating the change of the U.S.
That's right. We're all living in Torturvania now, and that is one of the stories, the torture story.
Indeed.
That the CIA... hidden compounds and all that. That's one of the stories you can actually have in print, and it's sourced. So this is actually put out by
graduate students in journalism, and professors are the advisors and editors of this thing. Professors like Dr. Andy Roth, who my honey bunny interviewed just a couple weeks ago, and on Press Watch. And there's also Peter Phillips, who is the main editor every year for Project Censored.
232-8818, $75 minimum pledge, which you can pay on your Visa right now if you call, again, 503-232-8818 to help support the news. Could get you this book by Peter Phillips and compiled by these different folks.
Absolutely cool stuff.
So that we don't have to live in Torturvania.
That's right.
Torturvania. I want to thank Rachel, Susan, and Maya. Rachel is a new member. I think Rachel's cool because she pledged $84, an Orwellian amount. I love that. And so these people are getting copies of Project Censored 2007, that incredible book, which, again, it's a book about investigative reporting. It's information. It's for news junkies.
There's not many of us left. And Marlena mentioned something this morning. This is actually kind of dangerous stuff to do. And these folks that are doing it for you today here, they're doing it for you for free. So what can you do to help us out, to help us buy CDs, to help us buy equipment when it breaks down? Because we do train people here, and we go through stuff like you wouldn't believe. Plus, we have to pay for electricity and everything else. So we need you to call up and support us. We love it when you do, and we love you when you do. 503-232-8818. And if you're outside the Portland area in Salem, 1-877-500-5266.
You know, there's another book that we have, and actually in about 1 minute we're going to go back to the news, but the other book we have is a book called News Junkie. It's written by investigative reporter Jason Leopold. He's done so much work. This book is so readable. It's basically a book about the behind the scenes of the investigative reporting, the mainstream journalism
right.
world.
Jason Leopold was the one who broke the Enron story, everybody, if his name seems familiar.
Broke the Enron. He's also in he's also in Project Censored 2007, and that is the 30th anniversary issue. Jason Leopold's story in Project Censored 2007, the other book we've been talking about, it's the number two most censored story this year. It's about how Halliburton Corporation sold nuclear secrets to Iran.
Oh, yes.
Hi, was that a terrorist act?
Right. And they may actually, you know, in order to for them to have the, just to make the enriched uranium for power, they made them take the plans for nuclear weaponry, which is just silly.
Emily has rendered herself speechless.
I get goofy sometimes listening, you know, and you do when you listen to the news.
Well, you know, it's hard to take otherwise, but you know, we really need your support right now. That's what we'd love to be taking. We do need to raise $201 right now, for the evening newscast. Be a part of that. Be a part of the solution.
If you can't do $75, how about a $60 minimum pledge?
503.
For Thinking Points. That's another book that's out there. Thinking Points, George Lakoff, which you heard the interview this morning with Michelle. Fabulous, fabulous. We're going to go back to the news.
503-232-8818.
We're so excited about talking with y'all that we can hardly tear ourselves away. But we are going to go back to the news. And Joe, Sonia, and Isaac, back to you.
Of the current time is 5:36. And now, daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
It's not easy being a whistleblower, especially when the head honcho of the federal agency charged with protecting whistleblowers is a blockhead. His name, aptly enough, is Scott Block. He's another of George W.'s political appointees with no particular competence for the job. His previous post was at the Justice Department's Task Force for Faith-Based Initiatives. Block has been a bumbler. He's under investigation for sexual bias in the workplace and retaliation against employees who disagree with his policies. He even has a whistleblower complaint against him by his own staff. And in his first month on the job, he blithely tossed out more than 1,000 legitimate whistleblower cases, apparently so he could claim progress in reducing his agency's backlog. But Block's most blockheaded move was his treatment of Leroy Smith, who had been named 2006 Public Servant of the Year. Smith was being honored for blowing the whistle on federal prison factories that expose inmates and staff to deadly toxics. In September, Smith was flown to Washington for the big ceremony. Media were invited. Lawmakers were coming. A room full of catered food was laid out, and the doors to the event were swinging open when, slam, Block abruptly canceled the event. He claimed that he had to cancel because another agency official had suffered a sudden death in her family. But the death was not sudden. "It's kind of fishy," said a disappointed Smith. What really caused this petulant reaction by Block, the guy who's supposed to prevent retaliation against whistleblowers? It seems he learned that Smith was going to a press conference after the ceremony to decry the difficulties of being a federal whistleblower, and that would not be good for Block's image. He later mailed the award to Smith. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help whistleblowers fight such blockheads, contact the watchdog group PEER, 202-265-7337.
This Jim Hightower Common Sense Commentary is brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project Foundation. To learn more, visit www.joinmpp.org or call toll-free 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
It's Tuesday, so stay tuned for Out Loud at 6 p.m. following our newscast. At 7, it's Amanda's Jam Corner. The weather, it's partly sunny with intermittent clouds this week in the Willamette Valley and Columbia Gorge, with highs in the low 60s. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News, Portland, Corvallis, Vancouver, and Hood River.
Attacks against the media in Iraq are increasing. Armed men killed a reporter who worked for Al-Iraqi television in Baghdad today. Last week, 9 reporters were killed while they slept in their beds at a television station. Iraq's parliament has now asked Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to ban the popular Iraqi media from working in the country. FSRM's Salem Talib has a story.
Al-Sharqiya TV and Al-Zaman newspaper are the most popular Iraqi media outlets still working on the ground in Iraq. Yesterday, the Iraqi parliament asked the Prime Minister al-Maliki to shut down their offices in Iraq. The Al-Sharqiya TV covered the parliament meeting about the new law to make Iraq into 3 federal states and revealed the identity of the members that voted for the new law. The parliament accused the report of endangering the lives of the parliament members by revealing their votes. Abdul Majid Samarai, the director of Al-Sharqiya TV, thinks it is not about the last report, but there been history of tension between the parliament and the firm.
The problem is about the comedy series called The Government that Al-Sharqiya TV is showing now. The show is critical of the government, and they told us to stop it 2 weeks ago, but we didn't. Now they come to us with this new excuse for revenge.
The democracy and freedom of speech in Iraq were some of the reasons given by the American government to call for war in Iraq. But Saad al-Bazzaz, the owner of the media company, said the Americans do not care about the freedom of press in Iraq.
In principle, the Americans, they are not happy with what they see, but unfortunately they don't pay a lot of attention to this vital topic. Killing the press in Iraq, it means killing the truth. They trying to prevent us of releasing the information and reaching all those vital information regarding the corruption, the killing, the sectarian war in Iraq, the unstable government. So if we lose the independent press in Iraq, we shouldn't talk about democracy in Iraq anymore. Democracy will look fake. Every individual American politician should realize that, should understand that without free speech, there is no democracy in Iraq.
Basim al-Bayati is an Iraqi lawyer for the media company. He's hoping to take the case to the trial in Iraq.
The parliament doesn't have the right to shut down a media outlet. They have to have court orders. But maybe they will use the anti-terrorist law to justify doing this and anything else they want.
The Iraqi government banned Al Jazeera from working in Iraq in 2004. but Al Jazeera continued to report about Iraq from the neighboring countries. Saad al-Bazzaz says that the only solution might be to move the newspaper and the TV broadcast to one of the neighboring countries if the Iraqi government insists on banning the firm. For Free Speech Radio News, I am Salam Talib with Ilyana Kaya.
An international political pressure group, the Control Arms Campaign, says rebels in the Democratic Republic of Congo are armed with ammunition made in Greece, China, Russia, and the USA. The Congo is under a UN arms embargo. The pressure group says its research highlights how lax arms controls help to fuel conflict. It is calling for an arms trade treaty to establish global standards for arms sales based on international law.
Sudan has announced a plan to disarm Darfur's Janjaweed militia within 2 months under the terms of May's peace deal. A cabinet spokesman said a plan had been submitted to the African Union. At least 200,000 people have died in Darfur's conflict between rebels and armed forces and its Janjaweed militia allies. Fighting has continued in the region despite the peace deal.
In other news, the Guatemalan government has officially accepted responsibility for the torture and killing of Guatemalan guerrilla leader Efrain Bamaca Velasquez, who was captured in combat in 1992. Jill Replogle reports from Guatemala.
U.S. lawyer Jennifer Harbury claimed a small victory yesterday in her tireless pursuit of justice for the brutal torture and death of her husband, Efrain Bamaca Velasquez. Bamaca was one of over 250,000 people killed or disappeared during Guatemala's 36-year-long civil war, which ended in 1996. In a small ceremony in the National Palace, a government representative publicly admitted that the army held and tortured Bamaca for 2 years and then killed him. In front of the same National Palace in 1994, Harbury staged a 32-day hunger strike to pressure for information about her husband's whereabouts. For the past 10 years, she has been pushing a case in the U.S. court system against the CIA for their involvement in Bamaca's death. However, Harbury said this case will probably have to be taken abroad.
As soon as I've finished all of the steps up the ladder, then I will go to Spain or Germany or wherever I have to go to file a case of universal jurisdiction, not just for this case, but for the 20 other cases across Latin America that I've documented, and there are many more, where the person was very badly tortured with the same techniques we're now using in Iraq. Waterboarding, electrical shocks, stress and duress positions, and a CIA official came into their cell and asked questions or gave advice like put the wire over there, it'll hurt more, those kinds of things. So it has to stop. They're the same techniques.
Jill Replogle, FSRN, Guatemala.
The current time is 5:45, and we are inching closer and closer to our goal. So tonight, we are asking for you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio. Please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. And now it's time to go to our awesome news director, Queen Lisa Loving, who is sitting on her throne in the pledge.
Hey, was I elected queen? Because I would go with that. I would go with that. So it's me, Lisa. I'm here with my best girlfriend, Emily Young.
I was appointed princess.
Really? We're passing the hat for KBOO. Listen, you guys, we've got $51 to go to meet our goal for this show. That's like if you made a happy contribution of $5 a month, that's $60. We'd be woo styling. What else could they do, Emily?
Hey, you know, for a $60 minimum pledge, if they call right now, they can get George Lakoff's book, George Lakoff and the Rockridge Institute team, who connected a broad progressive policy vision to a fundamental American value. So the name of that book is Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. And if any of you heard the interview this morning, he's absolutely fabulous and fascinating. George Lakoff, a linguist. It's about language. It's about the words we use. It's about how we think. And for instance, how the word freedom has been co-opted by the current administration. What used to mean freedom, what we all understand to mean freedom, has taken on whole new meanings. And he talks about this in his books. That for a mere $60 minimum pledge, which would put us over our goal. If you would like to be the happy person that we would love every day and forever, if you call right now, 503-232-8818, every day
and forever.
As our friend Christy would say, I love you every day, and we will love you every day. And we'll keep bringing you the news each weekday here on KBOO, morning and night, provided we have the equipment and the trained individuals. And the way that happens is you call in and you become a member. You get all the privileges of membership, plus you get the program guide, and you get to vote at 503-232-8818. And you get the wonderful thank you gift of either Project Censored 2007 by Peter Phillips. That's a $75 minimum pledge. Or News Junkie by Jason Leopold. That's a $75 minimum. And but for $60, which is all we really need right now, that'll put us $1 over goal.
No, we want more. We want more.
Oh, all right.
We'll take more.
You know, we love that.
And we want more because, in fact, we need to raise $175,000 by the end of this fabulous fall membership drive. We want to know that our membership base is growing, our base of support is growing, and that KBOO's financial future is healthy with your help and your active participation. Safeguard what you believe in. Support your access to grassroots media to unfettered news. 503-232-8818.
Ani's right. Actually, we're passing the hat for KBOO, and we have these goals pegged to each show, but really there's a big picture, and we like to put the big picture out there all the time as we're thinking about the big picture. You know, James Chassie, we had the breaking news story just like 5 minutes before 5 o'clock tonight. James Chassie information came across the transom. That would be the friend, neighbor, countryman who was beaten to death by the police in downtown Portland on September 17th.
I think it was 16 ribs were broken and he was tased. Is that correct?
Right. And the verdict,
and hogtied.
The verdict, in case you didn't catch it, for the grand jury was that the police didn't do anything wrong and that it was an accident. And so, I mean, when we look at the big picture, we just brought you a story about George Bush. George Bush ratified his torture policy today.
We bring you the news that outrages you because somebody has to do it.
And we link it. It's all linked. That's the thing. There's no separation.
That's right. And somebody needs to also help get analysis that you don't hear other places across so that you can, in fact, inform yourself, so that you can, in fact, help to inform others in that information sharing way. And we can be actually taking action together to address these outrages. 503-232-8818. The action I need you to take right now is picking up your phone and dialing 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
And we are actually ready to go back to the evening news. And then we're going to, at the end of this broadcast, we're going to chat with you again just to give you this opportunity to sit on our train with us one more time. So thanks to all who have called. And we're going to go back to Isaac and Joe Sonia.
North Korea says UN sanctions imposed over its nuclear bomb test amount to a declaration of war. The UN Security Council voted unanimously on Saturday to impose sanctions against North Korea. The U.S. has confirmed an underground nuclear explosion was carried out on October 9th. South Korean officials and Japanese media say they have new intelligence showing North Korea may be preparing for a second nuclear test.
The Israeli army invaded several West Bank cities today, killing 3 Palestinians and abducting 14. Manar Jabrin reports.
In an ongoing military operation, Israeli army backed by at least 20 armored vehicles invaded the West Bank city of Qabatia from its main entrances today at dawn. Soldiers broke into several homes, turning them into military posts and exchanging fire with the resistance fighters. 3 local residents were killed, including 2 members of Al-Quds Brigade, the armed wing of Islamic Jihad. Several others were injured in the clashes. Soldiers also abducted 5 residents of the city. The Israeli army also invaded the West Bank city of Hebron today. Soldiers surrounded and broke into the office of the Hamas bloc in the city, abducted its director and destroyed its contents. In separate incidents, Israeli army invaded several West Bank cities and abducted its residents, including a woman in the West Bank refugee camp of Al-Amari near Ramallah. For FSRN from IMMC.org in Palestine, I am Manar Jibrin.
Thailand's Prime Minister Surya Chalunat has lifted a ban which prohibited political gatherings of more than 5 people. Suryad said the easing of restrictions imposed since a recent coup would allow public participation in politics. Meetings will be restricted to venues such as universities and auditoriums. Martial law and restrictions on gatherings were imposed after a coup in September against elected Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra. Martial law will be maintained.
Eritrea has defended its decision to move troops into the UN-administered buffer zone on its border with Ethiopia. The United Nations on Monday accused Eritrea of violating a six-year-old peace agreement by moving 1,500 soldiers and 14 tanks closer to Ethiopia. An Eritrea presidential advisor claims that the troops are in the area to work on development projects. Ethiopia describes the move as a provocation.
Mexico's National Human Rights Commission has issued recommendations for the federal government in the case of the abuse of prisoners arrested during raids on the towns of Atenco and Texcoco in May of this year. The commission found that most of those taken into custody were detained illegally. The report also found that police subjected more than 200 detainees to cruel and degrading treatment, sexually abused 26 women, and that immigration authorities deported 5 foreigners in an irregular manner. The Human Rights Commission named the Federal Preventative Police, the National Migration Institute, and the State Police of the State of Mexico as responsible for the abuses. Presidential spokesperson Ruben Aguilar said today that the presidency will carry out the commission's recommendations. President Fox leaves office in 6 weeks.
That's the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, October 17th, 2006. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard this evening, please call us at 503-231-8032 and leave a message on extension 203 or send an email to pmnews@kboo.org. That goes for news tips as well. You can call us with your news tips at 503-231-8032, extension 203. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland and Corvallis at 100.7 FM on translator K264AA and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. You can log on to our website at kboo.fm. Our producer for tonight's newscast is Angela Hancock-Revis. Our assistant producer and audio editor is Mike Monkvold. Our wire editor is Dwayne Ponce. Our engineer is Judy Feistel. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. I'm Joe Sonia Watson.
And I'm Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. Coming up tomorrow at 7 a.m., hear the KBOO Morning News. At 7:30, it's Locust Focus. Barbara's guest will be Scott Ritter, former weapons inspector in Iran for the United Nations. His new book, Target Iran, is a look at the White House's hyping of Iran's alleged nuclear weapons program. At 9, Northwest Vets for Peace hosts Veterans Voice. At 10, Andrew Geller's guest on People Rise Up is Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. At 11, it's Democracy Now! And at 12 noon on Alternative Radio, hear Noam Chomsky on Latin America, Stirrings in the Servants' Quarters. It's Chomsky's first full-length interview since Hugo Chavez's UN speech, which made Chomsky's name world-famous and his books bestsellers. That's all right here on KBOO, your nonprofit, volunteer-powered, and listener-sponsored community radio station. Volunteer with our humble broadcast by calling 503-231-8032, extension 203. Thanks for joining us.
And I'm Lisa. We are joined in the Palace of Pledge by my super cool friends, Ani Haynes and Emily Young. And we want to thank Anne, Tristan, and Tyler for calling 503-232-8818, and they took home books, I believe, if I'm not
I believe they did. I did. I do believe I saw that.
Yeah, they put us over the top, but boy, you know, let's double it. Hey, let's double it.
It's so cool. Your support has been phenomenal all of this fall's membership drive. We need to keep that momentum going because really we need to reach that goal of $175,000, and the sooner we can do it, the better. With your help, it can be soon. Come on, my friends, 503-232-8818. In the next half hour, you will be hearing an interview with Alex Dobkin, legendary singer, legendary lesbian folk singer and lesbian activist. And you will be hearing Alex on Out Loud. That's KBOO's own queer-focused show, now weekly every Tuesday at 6 o'clock. But we want to hear your support right now for news, for public affairs, for community radio in your own backyard. Support what's here. 503-232-8818. With your support, we continue to grow. We continue to do an ever increasingly encompassing and expansive job. 503-232-8818. We do have some other thank you gifts we can offer, such as books. I know we've been talking about Project Censored 2007. I can also throw out there that we have, for a $90 minimum pledge, Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman and her author brother David Goodman followed up their bestseller, The Exception to the Rulers, in a book called Static. That's $90 minimum pledge.
Hey, Ani, for a $60 minimum pledge, I started talking about this Thinking Points book by George Lakoff. Michelle Fletcher interviewed this morning. And he is a linguist, and he was talking about the word freedom and how the current administration is co-opting that term. And when they talk about freedom and ensuring your freedom, and they're talking about tapping your phone and taking away your habeas corpus. Something's up, folks. And you know, and who's talking about it? Oh, let me see. KBOO is.
That's right. You know what other book is like that? Along those lines, Fighting Words by Robin Morgan, who is an icon of feminist writing, an icon of feminist theory. She wrote this book, just released now. It was released maybe a month ago. It's a toolkit for organizing around religious right issues, to make sure that we maintain our separation of church and state. And, I had the pleasure of interviewing Robin Morgan, who's been a favorite of mine for many years, just last Friday morning. And it was a, just wonderful, time to explore how, in fact, the framers of the Constitution and all of those, founding folks of this country were very explicit in the fact that this nation was not founded on Judeo-Christian values, but was founded on secular values and scientific principle. 503-232-8818.
That's a $60 minimum pledge for that Robin Morgan book, The Fighting Words. And it says here it's a primer and a verbal karate guide.
That's so pretty much it.
That means that it's giving you the tools that you need to you know, go talk to your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, or whoever it is that's being a little stick in the mud. And kind of, you know what happens when people are afraid? They kind of freeze into this fighting mode. And sometimes we have to just keep talking sense over and over again. And like I said earlier, you think sometimes you're just preaching to the choir here. Well, we're not. This radio signal goes out to everyone, and you would be surprised who is listening and who ends up listening and who picks it up. So you need to call right now, 503-232-8818. We need some more members. We need some more renewing members, and we need some new members to join our community here. 503-232-8818. I believe we are going to be going to the Just Out,
Out Loud program. and I'm watching our newly in-training volunteer here, Jamila. She is getting ready on the board, and it looks like, yes, this is a wrap. So, my friends, one more time with that phone number, 503-232-8818. Give us a call. Give us your support. Let us know you care about your community. 503-232-8818.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members in a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 or on the web at radiocab.net. Also, Portland's Gay and Lesbian Community Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. For information at 503-230-7701 or www.pdxgayyellowpages.com. Also, in other words, Women's Books and Resources, serving you from its new location at 8 Northeast Killingsworth at Williams. In other words, is your local nonprofit feminist bookstore and resource center, offering community space, gifts, tools for the revolution, women's writing, and much more. 503-232-6003, or in other words, www.voiceofamerica.org.
Welcome to the Out Loud Show. My name is Carla, and I first want to say thank you to everyone who has become a new member or has renewed your membership with our membership drive. So thanks to everyone who's contributed to KBOO's continuing work here at the radio station. And on the Out Loud Show tonight, our guest is Alex Dobkin, who is, in my mind, a famous lesbian icon. And she's in town for a couple of events tomorrow. So welcome to the Out Loud Show, Alex.
Thanks, Carla. It's great to be here. I always love coming to KBOO, and I especially love fun drives.
All right. So Alex is going to help us try and raise some funds in a little bit.
Or I try to get you off your butts and pick up that phone. Go right now. Really. Got to do it.
And for people that forgot the phone number, it's 503-232-8818. So Alex, tell us, what have you been up to lately?
Well, being a grandmother is the main thing. But I've also been finishing my book. My memoir called My Red Blood, American, A Radical Girl Takes on the American 20th Century. And those are the main two events in my life lately.
Okay. And you are going to be reading from your memoirs tomorrow.
Ah, that's right. I am. Tomorrow night at In Other Words, which is a wonderful women's bookstore, which you just heard about as being connected and a supporter of this station.
And in other words, the reading is going to be at 7:30 tomorrow evening.
Right.
The location, for those that don't know, it's 8 Northeast Killingsworth. The cross street is Williams and their new location. Well, they've been there a couple of months, but it's still new to me. So,
So
Alex will be reading from her memoirs tomorrow at 7:30.
Yeah. And then
after that,
we all tromp up to Mississippi Pizza for a concert, which I'm very excited about also. So that'll be fun tomorrow night at 9:15, the show.
Okay, so again, there'll be a performance at Mississippi Pizza Pub tomorrow evening, 9:15 p.m. I do want to apologize to our listeners. The details of the show tomorrow night were listed incorrectly in the KBOO program guide, so I apologize for that. The show is tomorrow evening, not Thursday. So
the 18th.
Exactly, tomorrow evening. And there will be some tickets available as part of the membership drive for the show, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But instead, let's talk a little bit about the music that you've done in the past.
Hmm.
So we have three CDs here at KBOO, and I was first introduced to you through this was your first CD, I believe, Living with Lavender Jane?
My first CD was Yahoo Australia, but my first album record, 33 and a third, I actually made that record when I was 33 and a third years old, is Lavender Jane Loves Women. So the CD is a two-album CD. That's called Living with Lavender Jane, because my second album was Living with Lesbians. And then I wrote a song on there. It's called Living with Contradictions. It's not actually on there, but I thought it was a good follow-up. At any rate, that was my first one, Living with Lavender Jane in 1973, which I produced with Kay Gardner. The late, great Kay Gardner.
Mm-hmm. Late, great, bless her. And so from the 1970s until now, you must have seen many, many, many changes in the world of women's music.
In the world of everything.
Right.
And certainly women's music, because in the 70s and 80s, women's music was the focal organizing component of the lesbian feminist community and women's community in this country. Second only to softball, as I'm fond of saying, to get women together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there still is women's music, and I still sing, and I still travel somewhat, although not as much as I used to. I forgot to mention I'm on the board of OLOC, the Old Lesbians Organizing for Change. I'm on the steering committee, and we had our biannual, twice a year?
Sure.
Biannual meeting in Portland this past weekend, so that also brought me to Portland.
Well, tell me a little bit about that, that you're involved with that.
Yes, I've been involved with that. I've been voted onto the steering committee after a year of being a provisional member. This is old lesbians over 60, although we are working out ways to incorporate younger lesbians into our structure. And, you know, it's these great old lesbians, and it is so much fun to be together with these old gals. Mostly are veterans of the lesbian feminist 70s, and the decades of the golden age of lesbian, the second wave. But there are, you know, there are so many old lesbians who have been closeted all their lives, and they hear about OLOC, and they come, and then all, you know, and then they come out, and it's such an amazing, empowering experience. So really, there's a great deal to be done in organizing and getting women together, because we sort of have a diaspora of the community that we once had.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, this is a wonderful vehicle for bringing us together again.
Okay.
And you can go to our website at OLOC.org if you want more information.
Okay. And so are there plans? Is there events that, that
we have conferences every other year. And I believe the next conference, we just finished one in August in Durham, North Carolina, and the next one is going to be in Long Beach, California in 08. So okay. That's OLOC.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your work with that group, and hopefully we can have someone. There are people here in Portland involved.
There's an OLOC group in Portland. So if you go to the website, you can get hooked up with us, OLOC.org, OLOC.org.
And I know their local phone number is in the back of Just Out as well. I think there's a blurb back there,
I believe so.
Okay.
See, you know, you here in Portland are so fortunate. You have so many wonderful resources. Just Out, it's a great paper. The women's bookstore, not to mention KBOO. I'm sure all of you, our listeners, know what a wonderful resource and what a gift this radio station is. I came out on the radio in New York on WBAI, Pacifica radio station, in 1972 was when I came out on the radio, because, you know, radio reaches so many people that wouldn't ordinarily be isolated. And it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to just think, well, it's there. You turn on the radio and there it is. But of course, it takes so much money to run a station. So of course, you can see where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing fun drives. I have
let's go ahead and give the phone numbers.
Oh, good idea. Let's go. 503-232-8818. 232-8818.
And if you're outside the Portland metropolitan area, you can call, or anywhere in the United States, actually, you can call toll-free at 1-877-500-5266. And I also want to challenge, if people are listening online at www.kboo.fm, you can also click on Join Now and become a member through the website as well. So the membership drive is something we do a couple times a year, actually twice a year, and we're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm so thrilled that you're a guest for our pledge drive. So,
well, I'm thrilled to be able to be on the air for the pledge drive, because I always volunteer for our local NPR station, which is so much better than the most NPR stations, I have to tell you, up in Albany, New York. So I always go there and answer the phones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great station, like I said. So it's a thrill to be in front of the microphone instead of on the phones. But I liked being on the phones, too. But really, it's so important as a community resource to connect each other, to find out what's happening, and especially today, in these days. You really need... You need to know what's going on, and this is a great way to find that out.
Mm-hmm. Right. And KBOO, the Out Loud show, has been on the air on KBOO for about 3.5 years, and it's all volunteer run. And so there's a mix of people that show up every week and make the show happen. And the public, anybody is welcome to participate and help create this show. And one thing I take a lot of pride in is that Out Loud, this show on KBOO, is the only locally produced news and public affairs show for the queer community. So lesbians, we have shows, you know, serving the transgender community, gay men, bisexual, queer questioning. You know, we have youth that come on the show. Mm-hmm. So we really try to give voice to all the different aspects.
That's so excellent.
Of the community. And the fact that it's locally produced, there's nowhere else on the dial in this part of the country
mm-hmm.
that you can get that. So
we don't have one.
In New
I don't
York?
Have one in Woodstock. Well, I live in Woodstock, New York. I don't live in New York City.
Right.
So, again, it's a really wonderful resource.
Okay, the phone number again, if you want to become a member, 503-232-8818, or you can call toll-free at 1-877-500-5266. I do also want to let people know that we talked about Alex's show tomorrow evening at the Mississippi Pizza Pub on North Mississippi. We do have two pair of tickets as a thank you gift for people that become a member today or renew their membership. There is a special caveat with the tickets. We do need you to pay for your membership via a credit card payment because the show is tomorrow night.
So fork it over.
Yes, we do ask you to pay up front, and then you can enjoy your thank you gift tomorrow evening to see Alex Dobkin perform live.
So if you've been sitting there thinking, well, I'll get around to it. This will go on. I'll do it later. No, do it now. Really, it's very important. Just get up off it. Of course, if you're driving, wait till you get home and call.
Find a place to park.
That's right.
The number again, 503-232-8818. Or again, toll free anywhere, 1-877-500-5266. Alex has also donated a couple of her CDs. We have one titled Yahoo Australia, which is Alex live from Sydney. How long ago was the CD recorded?
1990.
Okay. So we have a CD.
Holy moly. 16 years. Is that 16 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some quick math there.
Can you believe it?
But one thing I really like about this CD is it sounds like you're there. I mean, because it is a live CD. So when I listen to it, it feels like I'm, you know, in the audience.
My favorite part of this show is favorite part of the album is the live audience because they are so spirited, the Australian doiks, as they say.
Right.
As I say, they say.
Right. Well, let's go ahead and take a music break. One song that we picked out, we're going to listen to just a couple minutes of Lesbian Code. So this is a song Alex did. When was the first time? When did you write this?
I think it was around 1990 or 89.
Okay, so the song's about 5 minutes. We're going to listen to a couple of minutes of the Lesbian Code song from Alex Dobkin.
BD, baby duck. She's a PD, possible, probable. She's a DD, yeah, she's a definite dyke. She's a POU, positively one of us. She's got high LP, good potential, suffering from PLT, pre-lesbian tension. It's a terrible thing to watch. She's a wannabe, a D-O-T. Well, if she can't be a dyke of today, she can be a dyke of tomorrow. Then she'll be a D-I-T, a dyke in training, or an FDA. Future dyke of America, she'll be a Betty, a friend of Dorothy. She'll be a kind man. Okay, leave the lesbian code. Is she Lithuanian? I know. Is she Lebanese? Well, she's gifted. She's Lavisian, lesbonic, and I happen to know she's a vegetarian. She's a member of the team. She's a member of the lodge of the family. She's a member of the church, of the club, of the committee. And she sings in the choir. Is she a lima bean from Kentucky? Or is she a green new bean? Or is she refried? Is she a canned bean in the closet? Or is she now with a man? Then she's a has-been. No, she's a Frisbean in Fresno, in Lansing 489. She lives in Dyke Heights. She's an Arkansas Earth Dyke, Motor City Dyke. It goes to the pagoda with the Chinese. You bet she colors outside the lines in Charlotte. We lead the lesbian code. Is she an Aussie Dyke? Check it out. What do you reckon? She's a likely one, Spotto. Gotta be. Ah, she looks a bit sus. She must be of the faith. I'll put her on lay-by.
And that was Lesbian Code by Alex Dobkin, who is our guest here on the Out Loud show this evening. And Alex, are you going to be performing that song with your show tomorrow night?
Indeed, I am.
Okay, and again, the show is going to be at North Mississippi Pizza Pub, which is located on North Mississippi. We do have tickets available as a thank you gift for new members and renewing memberships. And we also have some CDs available as thank you gifts as well. So thank you, Alex, for donating those to the station.
My pleasure. Glad to support community radio.
And again, if you're interested in those thank you gifts or if you're interested in becoming a member, the phone numbers are 503-232-8818. And the toll-free number is 1-877-500-KABOO. So let's talk about maybe what are some of your opinions on, you know, what's important for the lesbian community today that you've been, I guess I feel like you've been an activist. You've been a voice for the lesbian community for 30?
Decades. Let's say decades.
Let's just say decades. So with all the changes that you've seen and, you know, what's going on in the world today, what do you see as some priorities or what's important for the lesbian community today?
I think what I mentioned before, which is the diaspora, getting us together again, getting us connected. And we have more tools now than we used to, aka the internet. And also, a hugely crucial issue for me is to make a relationship, interaction, cross-cultural, across a generational, of course, cultural too, but generational communication, getting the younger women involved with us and, you know, just back and forth, listening to each other, finding out what's important. I would love to see a resurgence of the F word, as in feminism, because that's gone. That seems to be gone from lesbian life. It's, you know, it's sort of queer disappears lesbians just as gender disappears women. And so what occurs as a result of that is young women who really have no concept of feminism. I'm not saying all of them. There's some who certainly do, but really it is not an active part of young lesbian consciousness. And that, to me, is our role. And I want OLOC to play a role. We all do in OLOC feel it's very important to connect women up with their heritage, their past. We are their, you are our line. You know, whether you know us or not, you are in our line, younger women, and feminism, the love of women. You know, women are being destroyed today. There is more women hating, more, it seems like there's more violence against women. Women are being, just annihilated, throughout the world on a level that, that seems incomprehensible in every respect. And you look at all the popular culture, it's like women are, Rich, in the New York Times had a whole column about that. I mean, even men are noticing, that women are getting bashed every which way. So that to me is crucial that we reconnect with our love of women and our understanding of feminism and how important that is in our lives. So that to me is a crucial issue for lesbians in particular. Of course, then again, to get completely involved in current affairs and to vote and to get out there and to make sure that we are that we survive as a republic. Of course, the republic hasn't existed for a long time, but maybe we can restore it. But at least to start taking back our government, which has been co-opted by the religious, corporate, military, congressional cabal and the thugs who, now rule the government. And that's all they are. That's all they are. It's really important to understand that they are just thugs. And I don't know if you've ever read, the Three Penny novel by, Bertolt Brecht.
Mm-mm.
Well, it's the Three Penny Operas. It's based on the Three Penny novel. And when he wrote about Mac the Knife, who was this criminal who achieved, you know, great prominence in English society, was on the board of banks and shipping companies, you know, was in the ruling class. And he's thinking to himself in this novel, oh, he's nostalgic for the old days. Oh, for the good old days. You take a stick, you knock a guy over a head and take his money. Now you have to sit at board meetings. You have to go through all this stuff. And it's the same thing. You know, he'd much rather you just whap a guy in the head and take his money. And that's what these guys are. And it's very important to remember that that's all they are. And every scandal that comes up daily exposes where these men are. And so I think it's so important for us to get involved. It's a very exciting thing because this government has really united people in a way that hasn't happened in a long time. As my dear friend, our dear friend Suzanne from Australia says, these are interesting times in the Chinese sense. If you know that old Chinese curse, may you be born in interesting times. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're living in, and it's our responsibility to step up and to take our power.
Okay, and one thing I would like to encourage people to kind of wrap up that, you know, participate in the process idea. Coincidentally, today was the deadline, or is the deadline,
for voting registration.
For voter registration, right, in Oregon. So hopefully everyone has registered. I did hear that a postmark is acceptable.
Right, the 17th.
So the
17th postmark will work.
You have till midnight to get your thing downtown to the main post office if you've not registered to vote. And then the follow-up is, vote. You know, make sure your voice is heard.
Talk to people. You know, I wear my buttons. I just make it obvious wherever I go as much as I can. And, you know, there's a real groundswell of support for this. So it's not like we're talking, you know, in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we need to wrap up the interview as we start our pitching break, our membership drive break. But I want to remind folks that they've been listening to the Out Loud Show. And thanks again to Alex for being our guest this evening. And we're not going to say goodbye to you because you're going to help us with our pitching shift. But I do want to remind people that Out Loud is on every week at Wednesday, you know, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. You can contact the Out Loud folks, the people that make the Out Loud Show happen, at kbooutloud@yahoo.com. If you have any feedback for us or ideas, or if you'd like to be a guest on a future show, feel free to email us. Again, that's kbooutloud@yahoo.com. And we wrap up every show by saying, until next time, live proud and out loud. So thank you for listening. And we're going to go ahead and continue on with our pitching, and I believe is Ani joining us?
Hi, Carla. Yeah, in fact, it's still me. It's Ani. And good evening, Alex. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, my pleasure. And I want to thank Carla and everybody connected with Out Loud, by the way, for doing the job you're doing. You're so important to so many people.
It is so important to create radio, to create media that celebrates and informs the lesbian community, the gay community, the bisexual and trans communities. It is so important to have gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans questioning radio. And it is important. I mean, I can tell you my personal story. My personal story is KBOO saved my life. I mean, people are always like, Ani, you spent a lot of time here. Ani, what are you doing? You know, like when I was 12 years old, KBOO saved my life. I was this queer kid growing up in North Portland and St. John's, and I didn't know that this was going to be worth it. I didn't know there were other queers in the world. The only way I knew that queers existed outside of my own head were the Anita Bryant crusades, which were going on concurrently. So it's like, oh, wow, I know what I am, and I know a bunch of people want me not to exist. You know, and I'm dialing around one night as a queer 12-year-old kid trying to come out, and I come across this program called Queersville. And it was on KBOO in the late 70s, and it was Howie Bag of Donuts and Carol Steinel, who were both amazing spoken word
Carol
artists.
Steinel.
Yeah, she was a wonderful comedian.
Yes, I've done shows
right,
with her.
Right, yeah. Well, Carol Steinel and Howie Bag of Donuts were doing this wonderful
Howie
program. And I sat there stunned. I was dumbfounded. I was awestruck. I was thinking, people gave lesbians and gay men microphones and people say it out loud and make media, and I was hooked, and I listened to KBOO really, really regularly ever since to get that connection. When I started high school, I started volunteering at KBOO, you know, and now look at me. For 6 years I've been on staff. What can I do? Because this love of community radio and knowing how important it is to people's lives, it's so real, it's so palpable. Now that I am on staff, I hear it from other folks almost every day, what KBOO has done for them, that connection, knowing that they're not alone in thinking what they think, feeling what they feel, loving who they love. It's an important connection, and one, my friend, right now that's well worth your effort in supporting us. Give us a call at 503-232-8818 503 232-8818 and be the person that is providing this platform, reaching out to others who just, well, maybe haven't had the chance to listen yet. Maybe are moving to this area soon. Maybe are really young and just starting to figure out what's going on and who they are.
And there's no limit on what you can give, is there? I mean, you can give whatever.
Absolutely.
Some of us, I should say, can only afford, you know, $10, $20, $25, $30.
Yeah, we have
whatever it is, it's going to be used well. It's needed.
That's it. We have sliding scale memberships that start at $20. We have youth memberships that start at $10. We really want folks to participate actively in your community and support what you love, support what you value. 503-232-8818. I want to mention again, for a $75 minimum pledge, we do have a pair of Alex Dobkin tickets. Again, tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Mississippi Pizza Pub.
Worth every penny.
I am so sure. I mean, it's wonderful that you are here as such an icon in the movement.
A legend in my own mind.
It's true. And in ours. And, you know, you were so groundbreaking, and you are so groundbreaking still. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you have offered up your time to support community radio and get the word out. And I also think it's cool that community radio was here to allow you to do that.
That's right.
So many communities don't have this luxury, this opportunity.
That's right.
Please support what is already in your own backyard.
Tell it.
503-232-8818.
Call now. Annie, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have any clue how many other people like you just discovered who they were and connected up with the community? Have any idea how many people there might be listening to KBOO who have just had their lives saved, literally,
I've never taken statistics on
it,
but
I'll
tell you.
Hundreds of thousands, at least tens of thousands.
I bet you it's easily in the tens of thousands. I mean,
so you all, remember, 503-232-8818.
And we also have, for a $60 minimum pledge, we have Alex Dobkin CDs. We have Yahoo Australia. We have Living with Lavender Jane. I mean, that is such the classic. I love that album.
Actually, it's a double album. It's Lavender Jane Loves Women and Living with Lesbians.
All right. Lavender Jane Loves Women is the one that was in my head. Yeah, right. Okay, so this is sort of a reissue. Two of your wonderful classic works.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So $60 minimum pledge gets you Alex Dobkin, Living with Lavender Jane, or Alex Dobkin, Love and Politics, a 30-year saga. 503-231-8187. We are looking to raise another $180 right now. Right now, that can be easily done with three people calling in with a $5 a month contribution to community radio. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
And the show after this is Prison Pipeline, which is another show that focuses on a segment of our community that you do not get information anywhere else on your radio dial.
And that's another horrible thing that happens in this country, that convicted felons cannot vote. And there are so many who can't vote who should be able to vote.
Right.
Very true. I mean, and where do you get that information? Where do you tune in to get outraged? Where do you tune in to find out what your neighbors are doing so you can take concerted action together? You tune into KBOO, your very own community radio station, this community's resource. Support us. Keep us growing. We are a 38-year-old institution, one of the oldest individually owned and operated, supported by our very own listener members, stations in this country.
There are folks sitting. Oops, go ahead.
That's all right. 503-232-8818.
There are folks sitting around at the phones. Give them something to do.
That's right. Put us to work. Work for you. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. I see Reggae Bob getting ready to take the mic and talk about prisoners and prisoner support work at Prison Pipeline. And we'll make way for him right now. But one more time, those numbers, 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-KBOO. Thank you.
find the motive. Why do what I do? The freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. The registration, cops patrolling. And now they done stop me and I get locked up.
They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
I'm locked up.
They won't let me out.
No.
They won't let me out.
I'm locked up.
They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I am Reggae Bob, and this is Prison Pipeline Show. And before I even get started, I want to remind everybody, this is our pledge drive. This is our busy little half hour, and you can still pledge on this time, 503-232-8818, or 1-877-500-5266, or if you're streaming online in time, www.kboo.fm. And this is the Prison Pipeline Show. I share this microphone every other Tuesday at 6:30 with Ruth Kovich. Ruth Kovich, our sister, is heading out today. As a matter of fact, she's going on tour. She's going to be stopping in some stops and checking in, letting us know what she's doing out there. So big up to Ruth traveling out there. Prison Pipeline Show started by a prison collective 13, 14 years ago. And it whittled down to one wonderful, strong person, our rest in peace, Ann Rose Pierce, our divine mother of the show, Ann Rose Pierce, and her untimely, unfortunate passing last year. The show was turned over to myself, and we got Ruth Kovich in here, who is just a soldier, a fighter, putting it on KBOO Radio, a radio station, our radio station. This is our community station. And putting on subjects on a regular basis. Not just subjects, but a lifestyle that people who are incarcerated, it's a whole community. People incarcerated, the family members, the people that work with them, the people that work for them, and yes, the people that work against them. It's a whole community, the lockdown system. Got a couple of stories tonight. As we got some things going, the Western Prison Project, the formerly Western Prison Project, very good organization here in the western part of the United States for working on prison advocacy and helping families and prisoners' rights. Well, they have a story just today. And the new name of Western Prison Project is Partnership for Safety and Justice. Partnership for Safety and Justice. This one particular story caught my eye. Check this one out. This is in Idaho. It says that the two corrections officers fear reprisals for supporting prisoners. Two Idaho correction officers, Sergeant Renee and Correctional Officer Sylvia, resigned in August, stating that they feared reprisals from other correction officers for preparing prisoners for life after prison and standing up for inmates. The Idaho Department of Correction is conducting an internal audit to find out if retaliation is taking place in Idaho prisons. Acts of retaliation, including demotions being sent into unsafe situations and transfers to other prisons. And the president of the union, of the state workers union in Idaho, says they're pretty spooked. Quote, they're pretty spooked over corrections. I've had employees who have been subjected to involuntary demotions and transfers for filing grievances. Sounds like your job. File a grievance, get worked on. Continues the story. Sergeant Renee was awarded Employee of the Year and coordinated a program called Speak Out that brought youth into the prison to hear inmate stories. Brought youth in there to visit the inmate and hear their stories. She also worked to improve visiting areas for families. Correction Officer Henry also supervised a kitchen crew, wrote positive reports when prisoners performed well at their job, and helped prisoners make planning lists for leaving prison. Other officers called the women hug-a-thugs. They call them hug-a-thugs. And both were accused by officers of sexual impropriety when they wrote positive reports about prisoners. And both of the women who have resigned are planning to start a nonprofit that will assist incarcerated people with their transition from prison to the community. As a couple of sisters working hard next door in Idaho, doing good things, y'all, doing good things. Also, just this afternoon, KBOO Radio, always involved in what's happening in the city, got the email from Portland Cop Watch just this afternoon. This piece of paper here is less than 2 hours old, and it's about the police killing of the brother, James P. Chassie, Jr. The story reads as follows. Multnomah County Grand Jury Tuesday found no criminal wrongdoing by police or anyone else in the September 17th death of James P. Chassie, Jr., 42-year-old man who died after officers struggled to arrest him in the Pearl District when they saw him acting oddly and possibly urinating in the street. Chassie, who suffered from schizophrenia, died from the broad-based blunt force trauma to his chest, suffered early in his encounter with the authorities. The seven-member grand jury ruled unanimously after deliberating Tuesday afternoon and hearing testimony from 30 witnesses over 5 days. That was beginning October the 3rd. One of the last witnesses called was William Brady, a former state medical examiner who now has his own practice and often testifies on behalf of the defense. Chassie's family requested that he be called to testify. Portland police later today plan to give a PowerPoint presentation on what their investigation found, something they've been eagerly waiting to do since the release, since Chassie's death a month ago. And this is timed out at 4:04 this afternoon. Yep, that's how that went there. Prison Pipeline Show, folks, that's what this is. If you appreciate the show, if you have in the past, if you do now, hey, give us a call. Let us know with your dollars. The membership family needs you. We need you to call us at the 503-232-8818. Or if you're long distance, like down in Salem, maybe Ontario, maybe Hood River, Clark County, you can call us free. We'll pay for that. 1-877-500-5266. And if you're streaming online, you can go to www.kboo.com. And yes, we do have our peoples coming in right now. The Mothership Membership Drive people in the house.
We're beaming in.
Yes, come on down.
I'm Lisa. I'm here with Jamila. Welcome.
Hello.
And we are passing the hat for KBOO, and we're giving people the opportunity to honor this program, Prison Pipeline, which is genuinely unique on our airwaves. One thing I want you to bear in mind as we ask people to contribute by calling 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877-500-KBOO. We're asking people to call to honor this show, Prison Pipeline, keeping in mind this program was actually put together for incarcerated people and our families keep in touch and to make sure that our friends, neighbors, brothers, sisters, fathers, daughters who are in lockdown, who are in Sheridan, who are in jail in Salem or wherever you may be, that these friends have a lifeline and know that they're not forgotten. And we encourage people to purchase gift memberships for incarcerated people.
That's right.
If you do the gift membership for incarcerated person, then that person receives the KBOO membership the membership
program guide.
It's the program guide.
Yes.
Once
with
a
news.
Month. Has news in it, and they can look on there and see when their favorite shows are on the air, including this one. So we really want to encourage people. I like to encourage people to contribute 1 hour's wage per month.
That's a good number.
So if you make minimum wage, you make $7.50 an hour. Let's calculate that. Let's calculate that for a minute. That's about, it's like $85 or so. If you call up, you make that contribution, minimum wage, $7.50 an hour. There's lots of thank you gifts we can offer. But, you know, sometimes for this show, I don't know if that's where it's at. What do you think, Jamila?
I think especially because today is the last day that you can register to vote.
Yes,
and
important. Yes.
As we know, a lot of people in jail, in prison, cannot vote and have no rights. So I think, you know, just keeping them in tune with that sort of information on if they're interested in voting rights and, you know, just keeping them on tune while they're in lockdown. So I think this is a really good resource for them. And if you know someone, if you have loved one, friend, cousin, anyone, just please become a member and become a member for them and help them out, and they can get anything, information, and they can listen, and hopefully, you know, maybe if they get the one phone call, if they want to, call in.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Yes.
503-232-8818. If you live near Salem, if you live outside the Portland metro area, it's a toll-free call for you. 1-877-500-KBOO. Mm-hmm. But you know, the show Prison Pipeline, it was founded by a woman named Ann Rose Pierce years ago. And she passed away over the past year.
Yep.
And it was a major issue for our KBOO community, because here's a woman who, she came on board at KBOO, you know, against all odds, really. She learned how to use the equipment, Jamila's training on the equipment. Yeah. You know, I struggled with the equipment for years. It takes kind of a lot of temerity. It takes some courage to go in there and press everybody's buttons like that.
knowing that people are listening, thousands of people are listening.
Knowing that people are listening.
And you're pushing the buttons.
It's true.
Yes.
And she, basically, her motivation was that her husband was incarcerated. He was suffering from AIDS, and after 17 years, right, he passed away from AIDS, shackled to a hospital bed, and they would not allow Anne to be by his side when he died. She was literally in the hallway, and she dedicated her life to humanizing, like I said, our brothers, sons, sisters, neighbors, friends who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of issues there. You know, nobody's perfect. We're not saying that everybody's innocent or everybody's guilty. We're saying we're all human race, and we're joining hands around each other. And that's what this show is about, Prison Pipeline.
Big
it's
time.
About joining hands.
Big time.
So we're passing the hat for that. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO.
Mm-hmm. If you have internet access, www.kboo.fm, and there is a join now button, so press that.
It's a join now button.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Membership Drive Central. We'll be back. Oh, you got more? More?
No, but you can come back. We'll hang out, and we'll give people another opportunity to get on the bus
with
us.
We'll come back in about 7-8 minutes and do it up again.
That's a beautiful
thing. Finish up the show. Oh, this is our KBOO family.
But
thank you.
You know what? You can call, even though we're not asking you to, in that beautiful moment, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO.
Matter of fact, I'm not going to let you go. Yep. Lisa, I'm not going to let you go, because you reminded me a big part of the KBOO family. How we come down here and learn the show. You know, I'm very, very shy guy. I was very shy guy. Reggae Bob got on the air and I started doing things. And you talk about humanizing the inmates.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for KBOO, I wouldn't have the connection with the inmates that I do now. I receive letters. It's getting to be every week now. It's getting to be every week. I had to get a file folder just to get them all organized. And
what do people say, baby?
They're they're organizing again. There's a group called Uhuru Sasa, a group of African American gentlemen down there who had their chapter. It's a national program.
I've heard of it.
And they had their chapter suspended a while ago, but they're back now.
Oh, that's great.
And I received a letter from them today, and I'm going to read excerpts of that later. And it's just so positive. So positive. And, you know, even though they're on lockdown.
They're
prepping themselves up.
When you look at this kind of thing, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where KBOO really serves.
That's right.
And, you know, KBOO is like a great big plate. It's like a great big deli tray. And you don't have to like every single thing on the deli tray.
Yeah, yeah.
There's certain things you like, but it's a così fanno tutti, as they say in Italy. There's something for everybody. And this
Italian,
is one of these places where we're asking people to give for something that maybe they don't even necessarily need. We're asking people to think of others. Okay, 503-232-8818. What's the other number?
1-877-500-KBOO.
Back to you, Mr. Hamilton.
And on the web, thanks Central. On the internet, www.kboo.fm. And yes, that is something, that long distance number, because we know for a fact that once a person gets
to doing some serious things or acting out, or they're getting too comfortable in places, they ship them out. They ship them out from Salem off of the wonderful I-5, the easy access to OSP, to other spots around the area, especially Ontario. And that's Ontario, Oregon. I've heard it's like 7-8 hours away, or maybe 4 or 5. Either way, it's not a trip down the I-5 and back. So, you know, shout outs to y'all. Shout outs to you. Hanging in there. Okay. A little bit about the letter and sharing this with folks. This is from MJ. Thanks, MJ. Got the letter. Missed the meeting because I just missed it. Yo, just winged it. But next month, we're not going to miss it. And like I said, Uhuru Sasa's putting it down. JS is the new president down there. And yes, I have spoken to RM and the church, and they're looking forward to coming down. We'll be talking with them. I'll make sure that they get all the particular phone numbers. But this program, don't let you know. Don't get it twisted. This program is for all inmates, all prisoners, all genders, sex, race, you know, just because of the folks that invited me down, look like me and talk like me. That's not the only people that we're putting it out there for. Letting you know that off the top. Okay? This is for the KBOO family. That's why we do this. And if anybody's listening from the Miracles Club, yes indeed, the non-alcohol, non-drug organization in Northeast Portland, hey, we are looking for some members of there to also come down and visit the OSP. So hey, that's what's happening that way. Oh, excuse me, the meeting that they did have last week, they had some guests from the University of Oregon that came in. They spoke about various different subjects on family life and the breakdown of the family. And hey, you know, brother taking it serious down there, and it's going to be strong. It's going to be regular. Shahid Hamid, spoke with him yesterday. He's looking forward to making it back down. So that's kind of that part of it all. That's that part of it all there, folks. All right. Okay. Another thing that was put together with the Partnership for Safety and Justice, which is formerly the Western Prison Project. They have a wonderful website, y'all. You need to check it out. I typed in Western Prison Project and got it, but I'm not sure how you can get by Safety and Justice Department. They have put together a report dated yesterday called Access Denied in Oregon. And talking about many different things, and especially when talking about people getting out of jail, when it's transition time, when you served your sentence, you served your prison time, you're coming out. Here's a piece of that report called Access Denied in Oregon. Is it society's responsibility to mitigate the challenges experienced by former prisoners when they transition back into society? Although some people may quickly answer no, the cost of not developing better systems of support is far too great, both in terms of the human toll and the cost to the public when people fail and then return to prison. Supporting the successful reentry of formerly incarcerated people reduces recidivism, that means returning back to jail, increases public safety, and helps lower the skyrocketing cost of incarceration. It's a very special family, y'all. It's a very special community. They deserve our support. We always talk about people doing this, people doing that. Hey, you want people to do better? You want to see them do better? You want them to act better and do better? Be more productive citizens? Hey, give them some props. Give them some love. Treat them as humans. We'll be right back. This is Prison Pipeline.
Heading uptown to Rio. Back with a couple keys. The corner block's on fire. From the covers dressed as queens. Making so much money, products moving fast. Put away the stash, as I sold the last bag. Fucked around and got locked up. They won't let me out. They won't let me out. Locked up. They won't let me out. No. They won't let me out. I got locked up. They won't let me out. They won't let me out. Visitation no longer.
Okay, we are looking for one family member, one KBOO family member. That's a listener. That's just a person who listens and becomes a member of the station. I have not met the goal here yet tonight, and we haven't even barely tickled it, really. But we know you're out there. We know you're out there, and we know you want to help. We got the membership. Mothership is back.
We're in the Palace of Pledge. I'm Lisa. Yes. Me and Jamila are out here. And, we're here because we want to be here. Because we want to change the world, and we want to make sure that people have the tools they need to make the world a better place. And this show, Prison Pipeline, is a tool. It's a tool for empowering people. You know, actually, Jamila, give them the phone numbers.
503-232-8818. And if you're outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266.
You know, in the past 6 months, I've been engineering this show, actually, for our other producer friend, Ruth Kovach.
Yes.
And Ruth has had shows that have made me weep on Prison Pipeline. She had a woman who came in and read her poetry about how she felt about her family being incarcerated.
Yep.
You know, that's the way I look at it. My nephew was incarcerated in California when he was a youth. He was 16 years old, thrown in the youth authority, which later, actually just this year, the California Youth Authority was shut down and reconstituted because it was considered to be like a torture chamber.
See?
And, you know, the thing that struck me about my nephew, 16 years old, never a problem in his life. It was like the whole family was incarcerated. You know, it was so hard just to find out what we could send him, what he could have. And the thought of this kid, you know, he's just a kid, dude. Mm-hmm. To have him, you know, locked away like that, and all we did all the time was worry, and there was nothing we could do. That's the thing that got me. There was nothing we could do. But if you're listening right now, you're listening to this show, you know there's something you can do. Mm-hmm. You can support this kind of programming. And 503-232-8818. We're looking for someone who will make a $180 contribution. That's only $15 a month.
Come on down.
$15 a month. What is that? That's like a half rack of super fancy beer.
You can do that.
Costco.
Yes.
Right? That's less than that. Half rack super fancy Costco, that's $21.
Slugs for them duds.
I'm just trying to put it into some perspective. $15. Is that like a latte, like once a week for a month?
Something like that. Miss Lisa, I do want to get our weekly Mumia Abu-Jabal moment on. I got to hurry up and do this. I just remember we have it here. Thank you for getting it together, Mumia Abu, putting it out. So the number is one more time, then we're going to finish it up a little bit with Mumia Abu-Jabal.
503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Here's something I want to remember when you're listening to Mumia Abu-Jabal. It's about Lynn Stewart, okay?
Okay.
Who was just sentenced to 24 months in prison because she had the nerve to represent some guy who was blind who'd been convicted of terrorism. And when you think about who's going to be incarcerated in this country, you need to look in the mirror. You need to think about who's going down in this country. We're talking about Prison Pipeline. We're not talking about somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. We're talking about you, your neighbors and friends. 503-232-8818. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Back to you, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you. Mothership Membership Connection. Without further ado, here's our weekly Mumia Abu-Jabal report.
Stewart and the law. On a move, I greet you all, those gathered here in support of the work and liberty of Attorney Lynn Stewart on the eve of her sentencing in federal court. It's my pleasure to join y'all, if only in this limited way. I also want to be clear about the sentiments expressed here are my own and are not those of Lynn. I speak only to support her and wish her a very favorable outcome in the days ahead. Lynn Stewart is simply speaking a legend in the realm of law for her defense of people engaged in struggles against the powerful. That said, I think it's safe to say that although she has defended black nationalists, Lynn Stewart is not a black nationalist. She's defended Puerto Rican nationalists, though I bet she isn't a Puerto Rican nationalist. And though she defended Omar Abdel Rahman, known as the Blind Sheikh, who was convicted of involvement in the first terrorist strike at the World Trade Center, we can all agree she's no terrorist. It is only in this maddening age, in the shadows of 9/11, that a prosecution like this could even be contemplated and won. And that is a testimony more to fear than to reason. Let's be honest. She was convicted of essentially breaking a prison rule. You know, if a prisoner violates a prison rule, he or she may get 30 or 60 days in a hole, or perhaps a reprimand. In the United States of America, Lynn Stewart faces 30 years. That should make you wonder, not about Lynn Stewart, but about the country you're living in, about the nature of the thing we all call the law. Lynn Stewart, a 66-year-old woman, is facing a life sentence for breaking a prison rule. Of course, being the feds, prison rules have fancy titles like the Special Administrative Measures, or SAMs. And yes, lawyers had to sign it to see their clients, but that's what it is, a prison rule. Lynn's only crime, if it can be called that, is thinking that the old rules still applied after 9/11. We, all of us, live in a world where Congress recently debated torture and agreed to let George W. Bush decide, where secret prisons now sit, administered by the CIA and the former Soviet bloc countries, where habeas corpus, remember that so-called great writ, will be denied to those who are tortured by U.S. military and government employees or private contractors on King George's say-so. Lynn, like any thinking person, probably read the rules, saw that they were profoundly unconstitutional, and presumed that any judge who swore an oath to the Constitution would say so too. Maybe before 9/11, not now. This is our world. This is the madness that passes for sober thought in today's America. But the people, each one of you, aren't powerless. By being here tonight, you want to join your voice with Lynn's to say, to show that this woman isn't alone. That is a good and powerful thing. Yet I must say one other thing. Again, my opinion, not Lynn's. Egypt is a terrorist state. It uses brutal and monstrous torture against its political opponents. Does that mean that one endorses terrorism against that or any state? Of course not. But it means we cannot ignore state terrorism, whether in Egypt or here in the U.S. of A. Think about it. Secret prisons, torture chambers in Guantanamo, Cuba. Prisoners disappeared into Bagram, in Diego Garcia, and in places so-called black sites with names unknown, where no one knows or who knows what goes on. It's time for people to join hands, join forces, and join movements to change this sad state of affairs. Lynn Stewart's work in support of human rights for all and a zealous defense for all is a damn good starting point. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Prison Radio.
That's right, and like you said, it's a damn good place to start. Yep, it's just after 7, so if you want to pledge to the Prison Pipeline show, it's going to spill over to the next show. Until next week, I guess I am coming back to back next week. I'll be here. And you want to let me know something that's going on. You want to dig. You want to say hey to your family out here in the community. Give me an email. Email me at reggaebob@comcast.net. Reggaebob, just like it's spelled, @comcast.net. It's 7 o'clock. It's K-Boo. And, hey, we're glad you're here.
Down, somebody's down in the concrete, yes, and Nayora gives a damn. I'm not forgetting anyone. Love will be deep within always. How can I have faith no more? Judging me on a 110 scale, way over 20, this man soars. Peace and love is the same to him who created all of us. I will show that I am a king. Liberation of myself is a must. I'm just saying, down, somebody's down in the concrete jail cell. And nobody gives a damn, 'cause most of them are bad. Down, somebody's down in the concrete jail cell. Nayora gives a damn. I'm not forgetting anyone. Dirty toilet seats, unsanitary, hasn't been flushed for weeks. Terrible environment, can't even sleep. Police brutality, still it alert.